You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Wow, do you pronounce my name with like, it sounded like I was a spy.
Yeah, it was the radio voice, Ed Stetzer, on the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
Yeah, well, I like it. It's kind of like your Bond, James Bond. You know, Roger Moore died.
Yeah.
Was that like weeks ago now, but Roger Moore died. So maybe that's right. Like Stetzer, Ed Stetzer. Mm. I don't know.
And now you can catch up. Hey, fun fact.
Tell me.
Casino Royale, the James Bond. Yes. So, you know, do you remember that time?
I'm a Christian, so I don't see those things.
Okay.
Hypothetically,
if you saw that movie, there would have been a scene where James Bond pulled out his phone and clicked to bring his car over, and he saw how his car was coming and where his car was and how close it was to him. You know that? Hypothetically, if you saw the movie.
I haven't seen the movie, yes.
Well, if you saw the movie, that right there was the genesis of Uber's app.
No way.
Yeah. The Uber, the guy who was creating Uber, he had the idea. He had the mock idea of and was testing out, but he didn't know how to exactly do the app. And when he saw that movie, he was like, that's exactly how Uber needs to work.
Okay. I am Googling this.
Just read.
You are correct.
Yeah. Read Upstarts. It's in a fascinating book called The Upstarts. So
that is very fascinating. Now, speaking of movies, you know, I was in Budapest recently and I stayed on the street that's the opening scene from World War Z. So I was afraid of not being like caught up in a apocalypse of zombies.
Okay, so let me get this straight. You don't watch James Bond, but you watch zombie movies?
James Bond is a whole different genre. So
then zombie movies.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Zombie. Listen, the zombie apocalypse is coming. So you got to be ready for it.
Does that precede the second coming?
People like you are not going to be prepared, but I am ready for the zombie apocalypse. I'm just saying.
You know, when my grandfather was still alive, I remember visiting him at their nursing home. And when I went into his room, he was watching The Walking Dead. Honestly, yeah, I think it's probably because he didn't know how to change channels, but yes. he was watching The Walking Dead.
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny, because I'm a Christian, that I've watched The Walking Dead. But if hypothetically I did, it has a surprising number of scripture references in the series. If hypothetically I was a Christian who watched television, which I'm not, but anyway.
Awesome. Well, you know what? Before we get into our question, I want to read a review by CC55041.
Wow. He or she really knows how to pick.
Yes.
Thank you, CC5042, whatever.
Five stars, outstanding podcast.
If they say that, they can call me any devil's anything they want.
Been listening to this since the first episode. Every episode is packed full of practical, applicable information.
Did they know that there are two people working with you on this?
They probably do. Guys. It's great pack for full. Any type of leader.
Did they say pack full or chock full? I love chock full.
You know what's cool though? The last sentence, if you didn't interrupt me.
Yes.
Says this. It's great for any type of leader, not just those in ministry.
Oh, savage.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Middle school slang. Yes. Your kids are not in middle school.
And that refers to...
How old are your kids? How old are your kids?
Episode 163.
Okay.
No, I don't know, actually. Seven,
you don't know how old your kids are?
And two.
Seven, six, and two. Wow. Yeah, you don't even have... Right now, it's all, you know, cookies and cream and fun. Just wait. It gets exciting. A lot of words. A lot of studying for final exams. Anyway, since it's all kinds of stuff.
So. Well, Ed, I look forward to you continuing to mentor me in the ways of parenting.
No, all the time we spend together relationally, just talking about our parenting needs.
You know what, Ed? So. No, but honestly, for our listeners, you have given me a couple good nuggets on parenting when we were together.
Tell me what nuggets I gave you.
No, honestly, when we were together in California at one of the conferences and you were talking to your daughter and then you gave me some debriefing on how to approach boys and all that stuff. It was good. No, honestly, it was. I was like, you know what? My level of respect for Ed has just gone up.
It's hard to see it going any higher. It is hard to see. Was I telling my daughter, hey, go get me something to drink? Or was it actually?
We will leave that for the listeners to
discretion. Imagine. They have the discretion, yes. Exactly.
All right, so let's listen in.
Hey, new churches. This is Luke from the Compass Church in beautiful Regina, Saskatchewan, up in the great white north of Canada. We often talk a lot about what makes a great church planner, like what character, giftings, and abilities make a great church planner. But I'm wondering more about the right-hand man to the church planner, the second guy on the totem pole. What type of character, giftings, and abilities would make a great number two guy in a church plan? I'd love to hear you guys' input and thoughts with this. Thanks so much.
So Luke is one of our plus members on newchurches.com. And man, I'm grateful for his question because after 194 episodes, we have not, I don't think, gotten any questions about the number two guy in the church plan.
My question is, is how do we end up with such disproportional representation from Saskatchewan? There's like, 12 people who live in the province and four of them have left sort of these questions. And so
it's pretty amazing.
No,
I think that's God telling us that we need to do a new churches event in Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan's great. Let's go.
It's gorgeous in the summer.
It is. The mosquitoes are like birds.
No, that's Winnipeg. That's Winnipeg.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Yeah.
Winnipeg is different. Winnipeg is not Saskatchewan.
There are no mosquitoes in Saskatchewan?
No, but Saskatchewan is really nice in the summer, actually.
We could go to Prince Albert. Let's go to Prince Albert in Saskatchewan. Yes.
No, Prince Albert in the summer.
We got to go to Saskatoon.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Because that's where some of our best questions have come from. But isn't Erwin Lutzer from Saskatchewan? I think he is. Let me look that up.
There used to be a day when if you were a Canadian pastor, you could just bring your moving truck, your documentation over the border, give it to them and say you're going to be pastoring your church down in the States and they'd let you through.
Really?
Yeah. A.B. Simpson, he went back and forth from Canada and the U.S. And
yeah, so Erwin Lutzer is from Regina.
All right.
So Todd, is it Todd?
The Blackabees?
Asking the question?
The Blackabees are from Canada.
Yeah. The Blackabees are like the Canadian religious mafia.
They are.
They control all of religion.
They're like the Surratts.
Yes, they're like the Surratts. They're like people everywhere. It's like the president of seminaries, and they're so awesome in both cases.
Yes.
When you say mafia, some people might think mafia is a bad thing, but we actually think it's a good thing in this case for the for both the Blackabees and the Surratts. But the Surratts. Do you know the Surratt's lineage? So Mary Surratt, you know who that is? This is out of your history.
We're like going downhill, man.
I know, man.
We need to answer this question.
Do you know who Mary Surratt is?
No, I don't.
You shouldn't. Mary Surratt, are you ready for it? Here we go. Drum roll. Was accused of taking place in the conspiracy to assassinate Abraham Lincoln. And so she was actually... she was actually hanged, first woman ever executed by the U.S. government. And the Surratts are descendants of Mary Surratt.
Is it hanged or hung?
It's hanged.
Okay. I don't know.
Stay focused on the point. The point is
what character, giftings, and abilities would make a great number two guy at a church plant? Number one, someone who is not going to be hanged for any reason or hung, right? Number two, someone who can be on point and stay on track.
Well, that's why you and I would never do well in this. Exactly. Well, what would you say, Daniel? Because you want, you're very important to you to always have more time on the podcast. what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, part of my calling and the role that I see myself, if you remember, Ed, a few years back when you, Eric, and Todd Adkins were trying to figure out how to start start this thing, right?
At, we were at begging Lifeway. You. We were begging you to come and work with us. That's what we were doing.
Not quite, but
come on, we recruited you. Man.
No,
we
it was great. You. I was flattered. But you know, when I was I just wish
it worked out. I just, you know, so far not so good. But anyway,
when I was praying about coming down, I really saw my role as being the number two guy to a lot of church planters who don't have number two guys. And that's honestly how I see my ministry here with new churches and with the podcast and all the stuff that we do. So when you think about a number two, the characteristics and abilities that make a great number two guy, I think execution is number one, right? Not to go on with the whole Mary Surratt story.
Wow, that was kind of an awkward connection, but I actually didn't think of that until you said it. So I would apologize to the whole Surratt family.
But yes, anyway, go ahead. Public apology. But once again, it's getting stuff done. I mean, the typical number one guy, the typical church planner, and if you have read anything on the organizational life cycles, Bullard has some free stuff online. You have Adiz's Askinez, who has a book called Managing Corporate Life Cycles. Predictable Success is another one about this as well. But anytime you think about a life cycle of an organization, oftentimes the person who starts it is high energy, entrepreneurial, want to get stuff done, but they may not be systematic or they may not be able to finish that well.
Yeah, that's good.
But they want to go. And that's honestly, if you have someone who is like more the number two, the systems guy, and they want to be a church planner, that's actually, and start something from scratch, that's actually a little bit more of a caution than the typical church planner. Because the number two guy, if someone is totally, completely systems minded and they want to be the church planner starting it from ground zero, they may over systematize, over organize, and end up not having a lot of people because people just don't understand what the vision is. They're like, yeah, you got things together, you know what things should be, but you don't have anyone around you. Like the vision that you're casting is not compelling enough for me to leave the fantastic children's ministry that I have at my church and the great Bible studies and programs that I have to go set up chairs in a school gym. I am not moved by the vision that you're compelling. So that's why with the typical church planner, there is that big vision, that high energy they're going. So with the number two guy, I would say the number one thing, yes, there needs to be a high level of trust and there needs to be this idea of complementary giftedness with the number one guy. But I think number one, get it done. Someone who can get things done.
Number one for the number two guys, someone who can get things done. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and again, not to, you know, let everyone feel the tenderness of this moment, but I think our partnership here is kind of a perfect example, is that you do get this stuff done. You consistently, I mean, you know, even as we're recording right now, it's like, I'm like, oh man, we got to do this now. He's like, yep, we got to get this done, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so I think that, our partnership has really been, you know, flourished because you are the execution person. Back to that, sorry. But yeah. You are the, we need a new word now. I can't, now this whole word is ruined for this whole episode. You are the get it done person.
Yeah.
And again, I think that self-aware leaders sort of know when they're not a complete this task kind of person.
Yeah.
Whereas others don't. Mm-hmm. And so I think that having somebody kind of move that ball consistently down the road has been your strength. Mm. And I think ultimately that's the kind of person that makes a good number two. Now, I hate that. I'm kind of not a big fan of the language number two because we're in this together.
Yeah.
We're working on this in a partnership and all. But there's that maybe out front sort of vision caster. And then there's the, I mean, again, let me say it from the positive perspective on your side. So there's out front kind of vision caster, then this person really gets the work done.
Yeah.
And that's you in our partnership.
Yeah.
And though I'm not saying, I mean, obviously we're doing this together, but I think it's important for the church planner to be aware that, I mean, you basically run what we do and tell me when to do it and where. And I think ultimately that's what most church planters could use if they have someone come alongside of them and do it.
And Ed, you're just like, you're all full of encouragement today.
I know. It's like, I don't know what we need to go back.
You should go to Germany more often.
I should. I'm still recovering now. It's been weeks, but I'm still recovering.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. So when we get back to this idea of a, and you're right, I like how what you said about the caution of the number two, the number one. But in the end, I think the more self-aware the number one guy is or the church planter is, the better they're going to be able to surround themselves with those who complement their giftedness.
Yeah, I think right. Anytime, I mean, the key is a leader, he or she needs to know strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
You know, and if that's not the case, if she's unaware that she's not attentive to detail, if he's unaware that he's not attentive to people, you know, I'm just making these up, then what happens is they don't look for the right partners that they actually need.
Yeah.
And so church planters tend to attract that sort of go-getter, get it done, blah, blah, blah. And so then they don't get it done because they're always on to the next thing and they need somebody who's going to be that on-the-ground strategist.
Definitely, definitely. So last thing I'd leave with is the number two guy has to be on board, trust, and fully be on the same team with the church planter. And there needs to be such an attitude of not submission in the negative sense, but submission in the sense that, hey, the Lord has called me to serve the vision of this church, which also means serving the church planter. And if there's ever a point where the number two guy feels like he can't do that and he can't, there's not a level of respect. There's not a level of, hey, yes, I need to serve. I need to defer. If they can't do that, then maybe that's God's calling for, you know, maybe it's time for you to move on, because there needs to be that unity, right? And the same goes with campus pastors, right? Campus pastors need to be able to feel that way towards the lead pastor and not try to do their own thing. If there's not that level of trust and unity, that's very bad for the church, right?
Yeah, I think that's good. I think when you're talking about that, he keeps saying number two guy, I think that's how he phrases it. But you know, if he or she really is thinking through, how do I execute this vision well? I think ultimately that will serve the mission, that will ultimately accomplish the objective, and that will build trust between the lead planter and this number two person in a way that really can be a great long-term partnership.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, thanks again for tuning in to the New Church's Q&A podcast. If you have not yet left a rating and review for us, please do so, because we do give out swag with it. So
swag.
We will catch you next time.